listeners will recall that in recounting the tale of Reb Boruch, the father of the Alter Rebbe, and how he became a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov, we had also related about Reb Boruch's mother, Rachel, and Reb Boruch's sister, Dvir Leah. Both Rachel and Dvir Leah were very learned, and Rachel had given over to her daughter Dvir Leah various aspects about her father, the Baruch Batlan, who was a disciple of the Baal Shem of Zamush, as we shall be learning and hearing about in the coming installments. And she found out much about the family, which Baruch, owing to the fact that he had left at an early age, didn't have the opportunity to find out about until much later. And relating about her background, Rachel told her daughter Dvir Leah the following about Reb Boruch Batlan, and we begin now a series of installments about Reb Boruch Batlan, as well as his ancestors and how it related to the Maharal Meprog and various interesting stories. All of these are culled from Sefer Zichrinus, from the memoirs of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, this year being 50 years from the time that was first published. And today's installment, or the beginning of it, comes from the Hesophis, the editions, which are found not in the English Zichrinus, but in the editions that are found to the Zichrinus as it's in Yiddish. Rachel began to tell her daughter Dvir Leah that when I began to speak, my mother taught me to say every morning the Meida'ani, the Shema Yisrael, the Baruch Shem, Teyotziva. And when I was 3 years old, I already knew all the blessings of Birchas Hanenin, those blessings which are made over things which we derive pleasure from. I would wash my hands to the meal, make an Al Natilas Yadayim and Hamoitzi, and at the end of the meal, I would make the Brocha Brich Rachmona. When I was 4 and my brother was less than 3, I taught him the Brochas, and I also taught him how to read the letters of the Aleph base, as well as Kometz Aleph, and all the Nekudis, all the vowels. My father, Reb Boruch Batlan, Rachel related, was somebody who contained all possible qualities. A tremendous scholar, a very, very wise man, a man who was not hasty in his decisions, very good natures, and first and foremost, very, very modest and humble, to which there was no like. People never would find my father learning because he was always locked up learning in his room, spending days and nights studying Torah. When somebody would knock on the door, he would close the sefer and put the book back in the bookcase, and then, and only then, would he open the door and accept each person with a cheerful countenance. He never would engage in pilpul dialectics, in various halachic discussions to show his tremendous amount of scholarship. He loved to hear the novella from others, but his own novella, and he left after his passing hundreds and thousands of pages, he only from time to time would reveal, and very, very briefly at that. Reb Boruch Batlan would constantly repeat the saying of the wise man who said it is good to be secluded amongst creatures and to be alone while you're in the midst of men. That means that the decent, upstanding individual should follow the middle path, the golden path. He shouldn't be too separated from people. And totally alone, on the other hand, he shouldn't waste his time in idle talking chatter when he is with others, he should find out whatever they need, but at the same time, he should be his own person. This saying was profoundly influencing in my dad's life and my father's life. When I was young, Grochel relates, and even a little older, I did not understand it. But as I matured, I understood the wisdom of the saying, and I saw within my father's face, his countenance, and his movements, that even while he was amidst people, he was in himself as well. His face was shining. There was a feeling of goodness which poured out to each individual. His natural smile, which was always on his lips, and his deep black eyes gave him a special fondness in the eyes of creatures, of fellow men, but at the same time he was his own person and always inside himself, somebody who always was within himself. Rav Baruch Patlin related that when he was 10 years old, he already would occupy himself in making loans, because his parents had given him a sum of money, and he would lend out the money to poor merchants, and when he came back from the yeshiva and it was time for his engagement and he gave miser, tithing, from his nadin, from his dowry, he gave a considerable sum of that amount to the Gemilas Chesed, to the free loan fund of the city. And after he married my mother, Rachel said, he established a private loan fund where he would lend merchants without any interest. And then I began to understand, Rav Baruch said, how important Gemilus Chasodim, to act kindly toward others, refers and relates not only by giving money, but also to personally do things for a fellow. My father was beloved to all, said Rachel, without difference of the station of that individual, whether that person was a Godel Betrida, whether he was a Torah great, or the populace, whether they were rich or poor, all of them loved father and gave him much honor. Even those who were opponents to Kabbalah, to Jewish mysticism, and to the ways of the hidden tzaddikim, and as this was known from the earlier stories, which father told me, that he was a devoted disciple of Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem Tov, and he was a person who immersed himself in the study of Kabbalah, loved the hidden tzaddikim, and supported them. So even those who were opponents to this shita, to this way of life, they too honored my father very much, and they called him Rav Baruch Patlin. The term Rav Baruch Patlin was a term which was used because he was totally out of worldly matters. Rachel went on to relate that when I was a small child, I heard that my father was called Rav Baruch Patlin, and I was called Rachel, the daughter of Rav Baruch Patlin. And my brother was called Binyamin, the son of Rav Baruch Patlin. I thought, in all simplicity, that Patlin was our family name, just like other family names were Brandeis or Kluber or Speyer, and our family name was Patlin. There was a friend of the family whose name was Reb Shimon Aryeh. He was a distant relative of my mother. He was a very lively individual and loved to tease me. Once he called me by name, Rochala, the smallest of children, the youngest of children. Sometimes he would say to me in an honorable fashion, Madam Rochel, Portugali, and I would run away from him. Once he got me very angry by calling me Rochel Portugali once, and the second time, and the third time, and I began crying. When my father heard me crying, he went out of his room, and he asked me, Rachel, why are you crying? And I told him that Rav Shimon Aryeh got me upset, because he's calling me Rachel Porshagali, and our family name is Botlin, not Porshagali. Why is he calling me by another name? I'm your daughter, and if you're a Baruch Botlin, then my name is Rachel Botlin. My father calmed me down and did not say anything to me, just a smile passed his lips. But when I grew older, a little bit older, I found out that indeed our family name was Porchigali, while the nickname, as it were, Botlin, was a name given by the people in the city as a sign of honor, which indicated that my father's merits and lofty levels of holiness was such that all the scholars and all the rich people were botl, they were nullified before him, and they called him Botlin. The mechutin of Rav Baruch Botlin was the Gaon Rav Moshe, who lived in Posen, which was then a kind of independent state. Rav Moshe was renowned for his learning as well as for his wealth. He was also blessed with many sons and daughters. One of his sons was called Shneur Zalman, after whom the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, the author of the Tanya Shulchan Aruch, was named. Shneur Zalman, however, was entirely different from Rabbi Moshe's other sons. He was delicate and ailing from birth. This, however, did not interfere with his studying Torah day and night. Shneur Zalman was also very fond of solitude, as you will recall was his son Baruch, the father of the Alter Rebbe. While all the other brothers devoted themselves to business, Shneur Zalman devoted himself entirely to Limud HaTorah, to the study of Torah. When Shneur Zalman became 20 years of age, he married Rachel, the daughter of Rav Baruch Botlin, and this Rav Baruch, the Friedrich Rebbe writes, was very likely a poor man, and Rav Moshe must have agreed to the marriage only because of his fine spiritual qualities. Instead of Shneur Zalman being supported by his shver, by his father-in-law, as was the custom at that time, he and his wife lived for 6 years after their marriage at the home of his father. It seems that Rav Moshe and his older brothers wanted Shneur Zalman to take to business like themselves, but Shneur Zalman declined and preferred rather to make a poor living out of teaching. From that time onward, he had also refused altogether to accept support from his rich father and brothers. His family might have remained peacefully in Posen, had not then sprang up the so-called Haskola movement. This was indeed a danger to the Jewish faith. Rav Moshe and some other Jewish inhabitants began to fear that they would not be able to continue serving God and studying Torah as before, and so they decided to wander forth, hoping to reach Vice Rusland or White Russia, where there were large Torah centers. Thus, they wandered from town to town until they came to White Russia. Rav Moshe and one of his sons settled in Minsk. Two other sons, Yehuda and Mordechai, settled in Orsha, in the district of Mogilev, or Moilev. Shneur Zalman, his wife, and their daughter Dvora Leah accompanied those families of Posen by whom he was engaged as a teacher. They all settled in Vitebsk, and Shneur Zalman continued with his teaching. 3 years later, Shneur Zalman's wife gave birth to his son, and they named him Baruch after his grandfather, the Baruch Botlin, who had died in Posen prior to their departure. And so, the Baruch, who we were talking about in the earlier installments, Raborch, the father of the Alter Rebbe, was named after this great Raborch Batlin, who was himself a Talmud of one of the earlier Baalei Shem. And in point of fact, Raborch was not only a Talmud of one of the Baalei Shem, but of two of them. First, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Elio Baal Shem of Worms, and later, after Rabbi Elio's passing, he became a Mekusher, he became attached to the mystics and Kabbalists, and a Talmud of Rabbi Yoel, the Baal Shem of Zamosh. A Mirtz Hashem, in the coming installment, a story which happened with Raborch Batlin's family at the time while they were still living in Poznan, before they had to leave, as we just mentioned, and that Raborch was not able to leave because he had passed away in Poznan while his family did leave. And that Emir Tzashem in the coming installment.